is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Gordon Chang, my colleague and friend, Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill, to comment on what I interpret as contradictions in the presentation by the Communist Party of China for its destruction of assets in these last days. The destruction started some time ago, probably with the pullback of the IPO of the Ant Group last year, but now we have strange activity. For example, the destruction of Tutors, organizations that were seeking to aid the education of the children of China. We also have destruction of IPOs such as Didi, the ride-sharing app that was extremely successful to market. And then the Chinese Communist Party issued mandates that suggest they might even claw back Didi. Following that, recommendations from the center that no more IPOs in America or London. All the IPOs will be done in Hong Kong or Shanghai. And the conferring with listing firms that are listed overseas, saying there'll be new regulations and rules. All of this destroys what Bloomberg estimates is $1 trillion worth of assets in the markets. Strange activity for a state that is committed to prosperity for its people. That was the bargain, GDP for obedience. And now we have a new explanation from Bloomberg. The Communist Party is saying the reason for this reorganization of venture capital, private equity, stock investors, etc., is that China is faced with big bills, three big mountains in the Chinese storytelling. Three big mountains. The burden of payments for education, healthcare, and property. So in order to pay for the future, they're destroying the present, is what it appears to my innocent eyes. But at the same time, we have reports from Hong Kong of a raid by the city's police on the union leaders at the student union at the University of Hong Kong, and a report in The Economist that the teachers and faculty and workers at Hong Kong University are in fear that academic freedom is over and their careers are over. Gordon, I know these things don't go together, but help me understand the Chinese Communist Party's presentation. In order to pay for education, they're destroying education. And in order to pay for the future, they're destroying their asset base. How does that work in the calculation in Beijing?
I think the most important thing in the minds of Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, is control. It's the continuation of Communist Party rule and his control over the party. So he is willing to destroy value. He's willing to do so many things that seem to be out of our contemplation if it furthers those objectives. So, for instance, John, with the tutoring companies, what he did there was he said that no tutoring company can be engaged in profit-making activities. And that, of course, means that all of these companies that are listed on the New York Stock Exchange, if they don't go to zero in value, they go to a very low value. But that's important for him because you no longer have foreigners owning an educational sector. And that, to Xi Jinping, is worth a lot. When you go through these, there are different explanations. So, for instance, in Didi, which is the ride-hailing app of Didi Xuqing, the important thing there is that Didi was collecting lots of information, and Xi Jinping did not want that information available to foreigners. So, again, we're talking about control, and China is closing itself off. We saw this in the early years of Xi Jinping's rule, and we're seeing the pace pick up now. He's a Maoist. He reveres Mao Zedong. We should not be surprised.
Cha Guan, the columnist based in China for The Economist magazine, indicates that there's a connection to we can find a connection between the war on the virus that locks people in their apartments no matter what their fate, the nationalism that we see expressed in the South China Sea or the aggression against India or the brutality in the whole region against its neighbors, and the decision-making in the markets that suddenly the Communist Party discovered there was profits in Wall Street. Profits, Gordon, imagine that. They discovered it late. Good thing in time. Put all these things together. And Cha Guan observes this is isolationism, Chinese style. As I recall, Gordon, The reason China doesn't have a navy tradition is because at some point in the medieval past, the decision was made by an emperor to pull back the fleets and to only look internally in China. Is this a periodic tradition? Is this something about ruling in China that means that now and again you'll deliberately close the door no matter what people need, and you'll starve people to death rather than allow them to trade?
Well, again, it's a question of Xi Jinping's calculations about the viability of the Communist Party. You're referring to the destruction of the treasure fleet by the Ming emperors in the 15th century. China then had the world's most advanced fleet by far. Because of this fear of contact with the outside world, Chinese emperors destroyed the fleet, and they destroyed the plans for China's magnificent ships. We see something a little bit different today, but you can see the same strands of thinking. You know, with regard to South China Sea and the rest of it, this is just whipping up nationalism. With regard to locking people in their homes, this goes to a narrative of the Communist Party that they can control the disease better than anybody else, and therefore their government is legitimate and that democracy is done. And so Beijing's propaganda always talks about how China's been able to control the disease well. Well, the numbers of cases is generally thought to be the determinant of how well you're doing. So if China can hide cases, if it can prevent people from going outside and transmitting the disease, even though that means a total lockdown of society, well, Beijing will do it, even if people die. So they die in their apartments. So this is just mentality of total Communist Party domination of society.
The reason China is a rising power, the reason it gets respect in Europe, is not because of its brutality, but because of its prosperity. Without the gains made in the markets these last 20 years, Xi Jinping would be ruling a backward organization that can't feed itself. That's where they'd be. In fact, it's odd that a country wants to lock its doors because it lacks food security unless it imports. Lacks it, can't feed its own people. So how does this work, Gordon, in the standing committee? What do they say to each other when they see their accounts are dwindling?
Great question, John, and I certainly would like to attend a Politburo Standing Committee meeting. But I think what happens there is that Xi Jinping decides what to do. And although he can't do everything that he wants, he can get a lot of what he wants through that seven-person body. And essentially what Xi Jinping believes is going back to a state economy, something that Mao Zedong would be familiar with. And so he's turning his back on what made China successful. But I don't think he really cares, because he thinks that the old system will work. Probably, and I suspect this is what he's thinking, is that he can intimidate the rest of the world into giving China what it wants, even though China may not be as economically vibrant. Again, it's just a question of control. Xi Jinping believes that he must have absolute control of the Communist Party, and the Communist Party have absolute control over society. Gordon, and that's where he's going.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. She is headed to be a ruler in Hades. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.